Hello, this is Spencer. Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. Woo! The podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss the week in LGBTQ plus history. You know me as the guy who keeps the sound in check and gets the Let's Talk About Gay Stuff episodes out each week. You may also know me from our spoopy podcast, bringing you the latest and greatest in true crime and horror, and our Rupee podcast, talking about televised drag competitions. But we're here to talk about gay stuff, right? The guys are out on a little break. I'm still here. Things are going... Things are going okay. I'm still getting along well. So don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I know everyone is worried. I'm going to be okay. Yeah, so the guys are gone after 114 consecutive weeks of laughs and learning about LGBTQ plus history. And we're not going to leave you empty-handed. So let's flash back. Let's do some more flashing back, giving you the flavor of the week in LGBTQ plus history while the guys are away. Of course, before I tell you, before we get to our discussion of our lovely topic this week, we have to give a shout out to our friends and sponsor, Baked Bones, for helping us get these episodes out to you each week. Recent Gallup poll shows that Americans have reported feeling stress, worry, and anger in the highest levels in over a decade. While we are growing more and more aware of the effects of stress on our bodies and minds, we may not have considered the effects that our stress can have on our pets. According to studies, there is a synchronization between stress hormones in humans and their dogs. If you are a dog parent, you probably know that your pup is very good at reading your body language and can quickly pick up on how you're feeling. We're always working to reduce our own stress in any way that we can, but what about the anxiety we may have passed on to our dogs? Baked Bones has a solution. CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs, and Baked Bones has your dog covered. Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. Check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and other benefits it may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% using promo code GAYSTUFF15. Baked Bones is LGBTQ owned and operated and is based in Houston, Texas. Baked Bones proudly donates 10% of all profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Need your bones ASAP or want to support small businesses? Baked Bones are now available at Man Ready Mercantile in the Houston Heights or at Man Ready Mercantile on South Congress in Austin. Baked Bones. Woof. Alright, so this week we're gonna flash back to episode 12, where we talked about LGBTQ plus trailblazer Marsha P. Pay It No Mind Johnson. That's right, Marsha P. Why this topic? Because we owe lots of what we've earned in our LGBTQ plus rights to Miss Johnson. She was part of the rebellion at Stonewall, which we all look back to as the spark to the modern fight for LGBTQ plus rights. So here we go, flashback to episode 12. Where the guys discuss Marsha P. Johnson. Enjoy.
Level up. No, you can't give us the countdown, so I was thinking level up. Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. Woohoo! The podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss the week in LGBT history. We are Thomas.
Tony.
Kendall.
All right, welcome, boys. Howdy, howdy, howdy. This week, we're reviewing the week of August 18th through August the 24th, and we'll discuss Marsha Johnson, Chelsea Manning, and the birth of today, what's known as today's trans flag. So, before we dive into these fun topics, what's going on? Any fun stories this week? Any dish?
You know, I usually have so many fun stories. I'm just going to take the week off. I don't want to dominate the podcast, so.
Have you been keeping your fun stories from us?
That corporate job. Woo.
That was sarcasm, Kendall. If I ever had a fun story, I would be like, bitches, forget the podcast. Let me spill
the whole story.
Actually, last week when we were doing Sunday Funday, I was asking Chris the bartender. I was like, oh, sorry if I was like out of control on my birthday. He's like, God, everyone was like so crazy. I was like, sorry if I was. He goes, you were in the corner like, ready to go home.
And then you did. You ghosted
covered
out of there.
Covered in vomit and stool.
Yeah. No, that was you.
That was you the week after.
Maybe one, but not both. Vomit and stool.
Surprisingly, so we spend...
which reminds me of a joke. What's the number one pickup line at a gay bar? May I push your stool in?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
But may I tell you?
Wow. Hello. So
anyways,
we celebrated Spencer's birthday this past week. And
yes, our intern.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Spook.
I think everyone behaved themselves. Well, no, except, yeah, everyone behaved themselves. There was nothing dramatic.
It was a great birthday.
We went to Max's Wine Dive for brunch because we celebrated more or less on the Sunday fun day with the extended friends. And, nothing too crazy. We didn't get kicked out or storm out like we did previously during Pride.
Like you did, maybe.
Like I did. But we had a good time. And then we did Sunday Funday, and I think we had from what I recall, it was fun.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's a good day to be out. And then on your actual birthday, we had a pool day. We went to a nice dinner.
We
and
all
then,
did. Some of us had to work.
Yeah, some folks had to work.
But I'm not bitter.
Tony had to work, and then we went to a nice play. So that was fun. It was a good week, very relaxing, busy work week, and then busy.
Well deserved.
And we saw the theater on the lawn at Miller Outdoor Theater.
What was it?
Houston. It was Julius Caesar.
Oh, nice.
So it was good. And then I think Spencer was all into the Julius Caesar because the next day we had Caesar salad for dinner.
Nice.
So it was good. And then
did he stab it 37 times?
He did. He did.
E.T. British.
It's been an interesting week, though, because we also...
E.T. British.
As some folks may have seen on the Facebook Live video, we have been staring at a box of tampons on our recording desk.
Speak for yourself.
Trying to figure out why these are here. Well, they're here, of course, because our friend and from our Spoopy podcast, Chris, a la Dixie Wrecked, was performing and advanced to the next round and
her
drag
used
competition.
Them as props. She threw him out as party favors.
Yeah. So how
in red Kool-Aid.
So this was all inspired by Kool-Aid. Kendall. Kendall, what was the tell us the what you inspired, because you inspired it, so I feel like you're due some
the dirty damp tampons.
Come on, I'm literally asking you to tell the story.
Oh my god, I don't want to. It's just trashy, just and I'm not a trashy person.
Okay, you made Chris do it, so you need to.
Well, the category of the drag competition was trash, or so we thought. We later found out it was plastic, but it was too late at that point. But it was trash, so I said. I can't believe you're making me say this. I have grandmothers.
Yep.
I said, well, go all out then and get some tampons, dip them in red Kool-Aid, write Call Me on them, and throw them at the judges.
So he swung them around like tassels.
And she twirled them like tassels, flicked them at the judges, and progressed to the next week of competition.
She dipped them in red Mio so that they looked like they were bloodstained, so that was nice. And then the next portion of her competition, what did she do? What did you advise her to do as the design consultant? Come on.
The creative director?
Yes.
Well, Dixie likes to fashion herself a trash queen, just a trashy, raunchy. Am I wrong?
No, that's no, yeah.
That's
right.
So
Ashley, what's
it too far.
What is it? What
that's
the
persona?
Cashless ass.
She says cashless, assless, and
classless.
Yep. Yeah. So you're on brand there.
So I said, if your song's "It's About to Blow" by Kesha, I get words wrong, so it's probably like one of those. Words
roll with
right.
it,
right? She, I said, pull out a dildo and just start blowing it, and then on the second verse, put some fake coke on that dildo and just start.
Blowing
that blow.
Yeah, so
get it all over your face. And she did it, and she brought the house down.
Yeah.
People were just screaming, throwing panties and other people's panties.
She blew the roof off the building. Ooh. I mean, people were excited with all that blow. So it was a interesting take on blow. So it was on brand for Dixie. So we were proud to see her go to the next round. So hopefully when this is airing, Dixie's still going strong in the competition.
Yes.
So we'll see. She advanced to the next round. But that was fun. But now we have a box of tampons, and we spent our dinner trying to figure out how tampons work. I think we figured it out how the plastic applications used. If anyone wants to give us information about how they are used, you can actually
FaceTime tutorials.
We don't care. No videos, thanks. Keep the tampons in the trash can.
All right, enough about that. Let's
all right,
talk about
so Kendall, so what happened? Anything happened for you this week?
perfect segue to Jan Sebastina. No offense, Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Jan, very sweet lady, listen to our podcast and send us a few questions. Three. We'll answer one tonight and the other ones in future podcasts. But the way it was worded, the entire message was, I thought, was very thoughtful and sweet, and you can tell she just is a good gay ally, I should say. But the first question that we're going to answer tonight from Jan is, how do you all feel about the way in which feminine men are often disparaged in the gay community as being less hot?
I hate it.
Why, Tony?
Because we talk about this a lot. I feel like, you know, like drag queens and transgender people had a huge impact in where we are today. And I feel like, you know, gay people, like, we know what it's like to be judged or be discriminated against. And so, to me, I hate it when we discriminate against others for shallow reasons. And so, this especially, because it's like, it's because of, like, feminine people that are where we are today and why we have the rights that we do today. And so, I don't think you should be discriminatory towards anybody for something superficial like that, but especially since, you know, people that are like, oh, no femmes. It's like, well, the femmes who were really suppressed are the reasons they blew up. Like, they blew up, and, like, that started the gay rights movement. Thomas. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like when anyone's kind of prejudged for something, especially being femme. You get the same thing with people that are bottoms. It's like, oh, they're a big old bottom. I'm like, well, that's fine. Like, it's okay to be a bottom. It's okay to be a top. Like, and people,
what would the tops do without a big old bottom?
Right. And some people shouldn't. I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Jars of livers.
You shouldn't be ashamed if you're a bottom. Like, if that's what you do, yeah, then that's. I mean, the world needs bottoms and the world needs tops. So it's just like, I don't like people make fun of that. They make fun of femmes, and it's not like. That's not anything that I think is appropriate. But at the same time, like, I will say, like, you don't have to be attracted to a femme person. So because I'd like a more masculine person. I mean, the joke is, yeah, I'm bi, but I'm like, I like, you can have preferences, and I think that's okay to have, you know,
I agree. I mean, it's one thing to have a preference and that's what you're attracted to, but then I've never seen you at a gay bar look across the bar and be like, ah, look at that femme queen.
Yeah, no.
You know? Yeah.
And you can, and I think there are femme queens that are attractive. And I think, so it's like, yeah. It's, I don't care, but I like either a man or a woman. I haven't, and it's not to say trans people aren't attractive. It's just like, yeah. I would be attracted to a trans person. Or I guess there are trans people out there that I am attracted to. But I do like a mask man and a, feminine woman, right? But it's not this, so
yeah,
I say that, but that's
a
preference
between what you're attracted to and what you like, mm-hmm. versus like just on the face, like mistreating somebody,
because to me,
making fun of somebody,
because the way I view it is like, it's like liking someone with dark hair versus blonde hair versus red hair, right? It's just, it's that's how I view it. Now, I get that some folks, they take it a step further and they view it as a, you know, they think someone who's femme is disgusting, or someone who's black or Asian or Latino is disgusting, right? And so when you start to say, I only date these people, I'm like, no, that's where I think, like, people should be more open-minded, because looks are one thing, but obviously, you know, you dig in deeper and you want someone who's smart and has got a personality. And what am I filling out a dating profile? I already have what
okay,
I want
well,
here.
Jan,
anyways.
I have two things to add. First of all, Tonti said, what's a top without a bottom? Well, I had a family member who couldn't find a bottom, so he would, this is not a lie, bury a jar of beets or chicken livers in front of his trailer and used to pound it in the front yard just to get that feeling of a
so
bottom.
That's a top without a bottom.
No. So that's what you do. That's what a top does with a bottom, I guess, in Louisiana. But second of all, I hate
it. Montana, we have sheep.
Or Montana, where Tony's from.
We have sheep.
See, what happens when gays can get married? Sheep. You can start dating, you know, sheep and chickens.
But I do.
Just kidding.
Hate it. Because I think there's, and I'm going to, it's actually part of my topic I want to bring up later. I think some gays think because they've been oppressed, they're allowed to discriminate more against other people. And there's this very segregated sense of entitlement within, there's a hierarchy, so many gay people think, of, at least I'm not femme, or at least I'm not a bottom. But were you sure looking for the bottoms?
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting you say that because... Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, because... So I had one of my old roommates. He was like, you know, pretty decent looking.
What an endorsement.
No, he was pretty decent. Not a 10, but I mean decent looking. But when he was like growing up, he was like very fat, into band, whatever. And I never knew him then, but I just imagined.
Lat band?
If you were really heavy.
No, that's what
you were like into band, you probably were like teased as a kid. And obviously pretty feminine. So you're, he probably got teased as a kid. So now he like lost a lot of weight, pretty decent looking. And he is a complete fucking bitch. And it's like. You know,
that's insecurity, though.
Yeah, because my thing is, it's like, dude, I know what it's like to be discriminated against. That's why I'm, like, anti. Like,
you're in the band, too, is what you're saying?
Yes. But it's like, I agree. Like, I don't think it should give you a right. You should have empathy for, I know what it's like to be discriminated, so I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, but the queens are. I mean, on Twitter, it's the worst. Like, I mean, to call people dad bod that are sculpted, but just because they have a little bit of extra poundage on them, they're like, you're fat. And it's like, no. All these queens that don't have a six-pack, they're like, you're fat. It's like, get out of here. Like, it's too much.
It brings out more... discrimination. However, it gives you more opportunity to find people that don't care, because I think in the last few years, maybe it's just me getting older, but in the last few years I've noticed that there's somebody for everybody. There's some people that like a little chunkiness, and there's some people that like
hair lift. I agree. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I used to always feel bad about like my body because I was never like six pack or whatever, but then the older I get, I'm like, yeah, for every pot, there's a lid. And for every body style, there are people that are into that. And so now I'm like, who cares?
Every pot.
Just own it.
Have you seen my cheeseburger? Have you seen my Tupperware drawer? There's more tops than bottoms. So that's what happens.
For those beets and chicken livers? Maybe I should hang out at
your Tupperware. That's right.
There's more tops because you buried those jars in the yard.
No, that wasn't me. That was your people. So, yeah. But I mean, just to, you know, like punchline, at least for me, like I think there's a clear distinction between being attracted to someone and being discriminatory against someone. And yeah, discriminating against anyone because of what they look like, I think just
stupid.
Yeah
Confidence is the most important.
Yeah,
so, I agree. Like you said, it's probably like insecurity
always.
Yeah,
if you're putting someone else down, unless they're being vicious to you,
right,
it comes from a place of like, there's something about myself I don't like, so I'm going to draw attention to you. I need to make them look bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, those...
We love films. I straddle the line. Hell, I might even be film.
You taught Martha how to walk in heels.
Kendall, you are super film.
Thank you.
That's why I get so passionate. I'm like, I don't want anyone being mean to Kendall.
Like, let him be film. Although, say this, because, I mean, I do... not to like extend this conversation too long, but I mean, I do think there is... Again, I think it's a matter of my... attraction. They don't discriminate. I just like, you know, Spencer and I, well, I'm gonna air our laundry, Spence, but you know, he said, oh, I want to buy pumps, and I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. But it's that has taken
penis
me
pump?
No, not penis pumps, like nude pumps, like high heels. Yeah.
Shoes.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And then as I think about it, I'm like, well, what does that mean? And but it's one of those things that it's just for me. It's not, it has not, like, I've taken some time. I've had to translate what that... of course, I overanalyze everything. But it's just... It's something that I have had to, like, adjust my thinking. I'm like, okay, this is...
Which is good. It's always good to challenge.
Yeah. It's not what I would wear. But if Spence wants to wear that, then I'm like...
And Jan, you asked a good question, because I could do a full two-hour show on this. Because I've been watching... I love the show Queer Eye with Jonathan Van Ness on it. Who, like, says he's... I think he says he's gender binary. Non-binary, you know, I don't know all the terminology, but he's got a beard and long hair, and he wears dresses, and he's like, I like both. I can have a beard and wear a dress. And so much of how we treat people is we're brainwashed to say, this is what men are supposed to do, and this is what women are supposed to do. And the entire concept of coming out as a gay person is upending all of that. So why do it within our own community of, you're a man, you're not supposed to be femme. Excuse me. Yeah, you butch masculine man. You got a penis in your butt.
To me, one of the funniest like drag queens that I've been to a few of Dixie Rex performances. I don't know who she is, but basically she's got a beard, but then she's like really sassy. I love her.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, okay.
That's Kendall. You mean Jacqueline Dior?
Is that her?
No, Blackberry.
Blackberry?
No, it's not Blackberry.
Either way, both of them, if you're listening, we're trying to get, we watch you all this show. Come join us. Talk about your drag queen.
Which we could do a whole other topic about how drag queens are treated, celebrated one day, and then looked down upon by certain. Anyway, Jan, great question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean,
in the future, we're going to answer more of your questions.
And I guess to that point, if anyone's got any other questions, feel free to let us know. Jan brought those questions up on Facebook. But any of the social media platforms, let us know. We'll take a look at it and see how we can.
Or if you have ideas for topics, because a lot of our ideas are either U.S., national, or Houston-based. So if you have, you know, any ideas for a show.
Let's talk about gay stuff.
Yes, we like these questions. We might even name it the Jan segment.
Let's talk about...
Oh, my God, the Jan segment.
Sponsored by Jan Sebastian.
You can reach us at... you can email us at...
Oh, she didn't mind me using her last name.
You can... Well, she posted on Facebook, so she can see it as a public post.
She loves it.
You can email us at letstalkaboutgaystuff@gmail.com. So, before we go swing into our gay topics, a little word from our sponsor. Hey, are you a small business owner trying to do it all? Take marketing, for example. Nowadays, your business has to have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter account. Who has the time to take pictures, write posts, and get them posted online, let alone comment, share, and respond to followers? We hear all of the time that this is on every small business's to-do list, and Economy Works is here to help. So let the Economy Works Talent Network help you with your marketing so you can grow your business. Economy Works. When we work... The economy works. Woo-hoo. Find out more at economyworks.com. So, with that, Tony, why don't you swing us into our first topic?
Kendall, speaking of drag queens who are celebrated 1 minute, condemned the next, vice versa, Marsha P. Johnson. So, Marsha P. Johnson was a drag queen that was pretty instrumental in the Stonewall riots and gay advocacy at the time. So, and... her whole life is kind of summed up in some ways she was very like celebrated, and then in some ways she was very condemned. And I feel like looking at her life, in so many ways she had an amazing life, but then in some ways, God, she had a really tough life. So Marsha P. Johnson, she was born very like middle class family, or, you know, blue collar family in New Jersey. And she was pretty young. She was like 5 or 6, and she tried to wear a dress, and she got made fun of. And so ever since then, after that, she thought, oh, my God, being gay is something. It's like a dream. It's nothing.
Wait, she was born in 45?
Yeah. Yeah, this weekend, 1945. So in her mind, being gay is like something to dream about, but you could never actually do, because, I mean, she had that negative experience. But then she made her way to New York as a pretty, like, you know, in a her teens. She went there with $15 and a bag of clothes. So once she was there and she met gay people, she thought, oh, I can become gay. And she kind of started, you know, being more free or whatever. So she identified as being gay, being a drag queen, being a transvestite. There weren't really a lot of trans terms at the time. And so she was very active in fighting for LGBT rights. She was a very generous person. She was people that were kicked out by their families and made their way to New York, she would kind of take them under her wing and kind of help them out. She and some friends founded a trans organization. They were instrumental in starting a kind of a homeless shelter for LGBT youth. I mean, she did a lot of work for AIDS, things like that. And she had a pretty awesome life. I mean, she didn't have a lot of money, and she was always known for kind of wearing flowers in her hair. And the reason that happened is she was homeless for most of her life, and she would sleep under these tables in the flower district where they were making flower arrangements. And so she would collect the flowers. And but her, you know, at the time, a lot of drag queens were very, like, extravagant and things like that. Well, she didn't have a lot of money for fancy clothes, but her drag was more kind of like – comedy, political, like grassroots drag. And she went to San Francisco and performed. She was part of a couple of drag queen troupes. She went to London to perform. So in a lot of ways, she had like a really awesome life. Yeah, I mean, she kind of within the gay community, she was very well known. She was very known for really being active and out there and really fighting for rights. very generous. But at the same time, from the time she was in her early 20s, she was pretty much homeless and forced to be a prostitute. I mean, it was kind of like survival sex, as it's coined. Because she was so feminine.
Wait, was she living as trans?
Yeah, so she moved to New York, and as soon as she was around gay people, thought, okay, I can, like, live as basically a drag queen. And so Marsha P. Johnson actually stands for Marsha Pay It No Mind Johnson. Because when people would say, are you man or you woman? She's like, pay it no mind. Because she was kind of a very tall, she was slender, but probably like a muscular, more of a masculine build.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a drag queen. And so people would say, are you man? Or she's like, pay it no mind. So that's what the P stands for in Marsha P. Johnson. And then Howard Johnson was a restaurant. She was a waitress when she moved to New York. And so that's how she came up with her name, Pay It No Mind.
But she lived as a woman.
Yeah, so she basically lived as a drag queen, yeah. And so she was too feminine.
Wait, a drag queen? Or I want to get the...
She wouldn't really say...
Transgender, right?
She wouldn't really say. So she identified as a transvestite. They didn't really have in the... When she was alive, like, transgender. And she was very kind of like...
But I say that because, like, RuPaul, for example, right? RuPaul has a persona of, you know, the woman in wig with high heels, but also does a, you know, lives... RuPaul Charles, right?
Last name? No, I think she lived as a, like, And so she was too feminine to get a job, and so pretty much from her early 20s on, she was homeless, prostitute. And, you know, she was... even at the time, like, you know, trans people were just not accepted by the gay community, and so they were kind of excommunicated. And it's interesting because even though drag queens... So it wasn't very long before Stonewall that drag queens were allowed in the gay bars in New York. And the drag queens started the fight, and they were really the ones that started Stonewall, which, you know, transformed the whole gay rights movement. But then in 1973, she and her friend, Sylvia Rivera, there was a gay rights rally in New York in 1973, a few years after Stonewall. And they were kind of like not really welcomed. Like, this was being organized. Mm-hmm. They heard about it and they didn't want them there. And they showed up and they wouldn't let them really say anything. And so her friend made her way up on stage and she's like, trans people are the reasons you have the rights you do today. And by an entire group of gay people, they were booed off the stage.
This is mid-60s, right?
73.
Oh, 73. Okay.
70, yeah. So,
Stonewall. Yeah. Because they were at Stonewall.
Yeah, and so she was actually instrumental. So she was, a lot of people said there were three drag queens that really started the Stonewall riots, and she was one of them. She actually says, I think I was there like kind of after it all started, like 40 minutes later, but she was... basically the one that, like, she threw a shot glass and shattered a mirror, and so it was coined the shot glass.
She made up for lost time.
Yeah, the shot glass that
way to make an impact, girl.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, she was instrumental in Stonewall, and then 3 years later, 4 years, they were like, we don't want you, because they said people like you are gonna slow down our progress. That was the thought of the gay community at the time.
Well, there's a documentary right now, because Marsha P. Johnson is really been learned about in the last few years.
Yeah.
There's a documentary on Netflix about her, and that there are some new interviews unearthed that she gave not long after Stonewall. So people are really, and part of it is we want to put a face to, you know, we talk about Patrick Henry. We want to visualize people. Patrick Henry said, right, the British are coming, British are coming. We want to put it's hard for us to figure out Stonewall, and I think Marsha P. Johnson is kind of become the face and the symbol of Stonewall. Rightly so, I think. But there's a fascinating documentary about her, and Sylvia's in it. And there's footage of her at that rally getting on stage, and the gays were booing her, saying, you're not... The feeling was very much, you're not a part of our group.
Yeah, exactly.
It's trans issues, and to this day...
Right, exactly.
Just, I mean, like Houston, we talked about a few years ago. I mean, yeah. Jan was asking about femboys, but it could honestly be, you can substitute that for trans. We're not quite on the same page. It's getting better, but even within the gay community, it's very segregated.
It is, yeah.
We're learning to break down those walls, and in some ways it's getting worse. We'll talk about that in my topic, because I got some notes on that. But Marsha P. Johnson was kind of has turned into the face of Stonewall, for one. Do you want to talk about how she passed?
I can.
Before I get there? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead with that, because I have views on that, too.
Okay, yeah. So, I guess the two things I'd like to say are, you know, she had this great life. She performed drag in San Francisco and London. She was very well-known in the gay community. I think she loved life, but she was also homeless, prostitute. I mean, she spent her whole life kind of in a cycle of, she would go, she had mental problems, so she would go to a mental hospital and kind of get treatment, get on medication, get well, and then she would get out. She'd back on the streets, you know, and she would get off that, and she would start having issues again. And so, and she was, you know, I mean, we talked about this, like, at the time, trans prostitutes were beat up, not paid. Some people had their genitalia mutilated, whatever. So the way she passed away, they basically found her body in the Hudson River, and it was immediately deemed a suicide. But people fought, and they were like, no way. And so they did find, like, wounds on the back of her head. And so it was debated for quite a while. But then I think in 2002, sometime in the 2000s, they reopened it, and it's still an open case because it was not a suicide. It
yeah.
was,
I mean, yeah. My theory is the police never liked her. She was, in their minds, yeah. a troublemaker. She was there for Stonewall, and those people kept a grudge. And can you be any more invisible than a black trans hooker?
Right. A very masculine really looking, yeah.
How much money and time and effort are these detectives going to spend into finding right. out, was this a suicide or a murder?
Yeah.
I mean, there was no even investigation for anyone to say confidently that it was or was not a suicide. My thing is, watch this documentary while it's still on Netflix, because if you want to understand the trans experience as someone who's not trans, I'm not trans, so I have to do it as like an outsider and trying to empathize and understand and all that. You cannot be more marginalized on the outskirts. What community do you belong to?
Right.
You belong to only the trans community, because the gays are not necessarily
right
walking arm in arm trans, and no. the straights certainly aren't.
Right.
I really feel they've been left behind to an extent to where we're just now starting to talk about it. But we had to get gay marriage legalized and had to, you know, end Don't Ask, Don't Tell for us to even be like, okay, well,
yeah,
now we can address their issues.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before that, you know, the whole debate of sometimes, like, people wanted to purposely drop them because it would make our movement
right.
progress faster, yeah.
The gays thought, you're holding us back because you're just a step too far. You will never pass.
Yeah.
And the murder rate for minority, especially black,
oh, yeah.
trans, I'm not going to say hooker. I mean, obviously, we can subsect it to where it's, you know, make it higher and higher. But if you're black and trans, you're far more likely to be murdered than probably any other
yeah.
group.
There have been a few of them since I've lived in Houston, right? Like, kind of south east right. Midtown, yeah.
Well, there was an article today about it was the 14th. Trans or black trans person killed this year.
But do we know those stats because of the progress the LGBT community as a whole has made? Like the fact that we, you know, because that gets lost when the big fight is, you know, marriage equality or serving in the military, those sorts of, you know what I mean? It's like those conversations are only happening today because the LGBT community can now focus on that. It's not to say it wasn't a, it wasn't an issue. It wasn't a focus area. It's just like the loud voices were, and the majority of voices in the community were.
There were a minority among the minority.
Right. You know what I mean? But I don't even think it was purposeful. It was just like, it was just like, we're trying to. You know,
in some ways it was purposeful.
Well, I mean, it sounds like in the 70s, yes, it was purposeful, right?
And well, no, there even were, today, if we're going to talk about how we treat femme men and look down on them and say, ooh, gross. And we, I mean, even gays call them faggots. Then surely that discrimination is far worse for actual,
well,
quote, men that want to become.
Well,
women.
And just to that point, I mean, and you taught me this using the F word, right? I mean, to the extent that we start to, it's an interesting kind of thought because, I mean, if you start to use that word more often, right? Because we're saying we're going to own the word, right? And we're not going to use it in a hateful way. I think it gives people who are Trumpers, the they feel like they have the right then to call us that in a derogatory way. Does that make sense? Because we're using it, and they're like, "Well, I heard Kendall say it."
Just for a little backstory, I call it the F word. I don't like it, but I have also gone through a journey of I'm not going to be dictated by someone else's. You know, you're calling me this. Perhaps I'm giving it power to say that the word, and I cringe every time I say it because I've been called it a million times and know how it made me feel to be called that. Like you're. What the word faggot really means, faggot equals there is no greater scum on earth. There is no one below you. Now, remember, I'm 36, and I'm talking about up until high school. So the word in itself is just vile. But it what, and then I have a discussion about, well, why does a word need to have power over me? You know, to where I'm afraid as a grown man to say the word, like I don't want the word faggot to leave my lips.
Right.
Because it scares me even to this day. That sounds so weird. Here I am 36.
But it's something that like, it brings back emotion, right? Like,
well, and that's the thing though.
Something you can't
so there's that separate yourself emotional from. Trigger that, you know, you feel when you hear it, right? Yeah. Because it brings back memories. But, you know, I guess my point is it because you say it now and you're like, well, I own the word now and no one's going to make me feel a certain way about it. Because you say it now, because you have that ownership, the casual Trumper, for example, that hears that,
I don't think about them.
They think that, well, my point is they're like, well, Kendall said it, so therefore I can say it too. You know what I mean? They feel like they have a license to say it. And so when they're gay bashing, you know, someone or doing a hate crime on a transgender person
first, let me deal with the word and how it affects me, because the way it affects me might not, because there are many, many gays that throw the F word around. Just like the controversy within the black community of using the N-word.
Yeah, because I was going to say, yeah, go ahead.
So it's not the same to everybody. And it is different perhaps to a 36-year-old than it is to a 21-year-old. So the way I look at it is first, okay, there were years to where I said, I wouldn't allow anyone to say that word around me. You will not use that word around me. I kind of like this. This has progressed into a discussion of the F-word. Y'all okay with that?
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, but why am I giving them the power for me to care?
Well,
that's a good point, yeah.
Just on that point, though, so where I was kind of hoping we would go is on the, because since we're talking about transgender, right? I mean, the whole, and we've talked about this before, but RuPaul, right, getting called out on saying, was a she-male and tranny, like, so those were, I mean, and RuPaul pushed back and said, hey, you know, I'm an ally, right? Again, I maintain that if people hear RuPaul saying it, then it gives them license to say, well, RuPaul says tranny, so I can say tranny too,
you
know, right?
I feel like... Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel too, though, like that says a lot about the person, because me, like, I would never use the N-word. Just because I see a black person use it, they can't. I can't. And so if somebody says, oh, well, they use it, I can, it's like, who the fuck are you? That's just, right. Like, what a low person you are. Because I feel like just because if I say it, I can say it because I've been called it whatever. Like, you know, if some straight guy says it in a derogatory way, it's like, you can't say it.
I do think there's a hypocrisy. Thomas and I have talked about this before. There are certain words beeped out. I haven't seen anybody on television being allowed to say the F word, I call it, or the N word, but cunt and bitch are just as...
Especially the C word.
Yes, yeah. I know. They're terrible. Ugh. So if I'm going to... How can I learn from my discrimination that I've experienced? If I'm going to say I don't like the F word, then I need to equally say it's disgusting to say wetback, which I don't use. You know, or the C word. You know, all these terrible words that I try not to think it's all about the F word for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know where I'm going with that.
But I think the point is, though, it lends an interesting discussion in terms of where we started this discussion, right? It's like the LGBT community has been moving forward with, you know, things about gay marriage and, you know, employment and housing equality, gay serving in the military. Transgender folks have been left behind, right? And then you have that aspect now. But now there's a conversation about transgender people, right? You're starting to see the statistics on the murders of transgendered people, and you know, then we've got into this discussion about how we use some of these words of tranny and faggot and whatnot. And so, yeah, it's evolving, right? I mean, it's all to me. I can't, and like I said, it's hard to say we needed to go through this journey when you've had all these transgender folks having to go through their personal, you know, journeys without a lot of support, and two, being murdered at a disproportionate rate. But you just had to have, I don't know, you just had to have
well,
that.
This is why straight allies are incredibly, incredibly important.
Yeah.
Because we're always going to be a tiny little minority of the population.
Yeah.
So whatever probably straight casting director casted Laverne Cox on Orange is the New Black, or has casted any transgender person, or even allows Jonathan Van Ness on Queer Eye to be gender non-binary, they're the ones in power because they're in the majority.
Yeah.
It is super, super important. And that's why I was actually touched by this message that Jan, whose question
we
answered.
Yeah.
Her question was so thoughtful. We're going to get into some of her questions she asked later. But she really hit the nail on the head that I think a lot of times I have spent years and years, even to my parents, of saying, I know you're not trying to hurt me or family members. You're not trying to hurt me, but I need you. You are the voters that affect all of this.
And people are listening to you as a
every single gay person can vote, and we will never get anything done at all unless people have some compassion and empathy and say, really focus on why do I think this way and why do I care if they have a job, get married, you know, question my religious convictions, whatever. Because if they don't analyze their own views, we ain't got nothing.
Yeah. And that's why it's important, I feel, for everybody to just be out, because if gay is a concept, people are more likely to be discriminatory against it versus like, oh, but Kendall's gay and he's really nice. Why do I really hate gay
people?
Oh,
you don't know how many times I've been told you're pretty cool for a gay guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's insulting that, well, I know it doesn't sound like it'd be insulting. It is insulting.
It is, yeah.
But I also knew at the time
that,
well, this is progress.
Yeah.
You know, this is progress to them, because when you're in the minority like that, you have to be more patient for other people's ignorance.
Yeah. I guess just to kind of close the loop on Marsha P. Johnson, one thing that is kind of interesting, you know, we talked about the Compton riots a few weeks ago, and that was completely lost to history until a PhD student found a blurb in this archive. And so she was really not, like, for years, she was kind of, like, went by the wayside, Marsha P. Johnson, as far as being known and things like that. And I don't know what kind of gave her, and especially, like, her and her friend Sylvia, like, resurgence. But, you know, now, I mean, there's been two documentaries about her. She has been, like kind of a main, not the main, but a main character in two movies about Stonewall. I mean, RuPaul has mentioned her as an inspiration. For World Pride, she was there was a mural, and she was part of the mural. And now, like, she and Sylvia, and this is kind of interesting. So she and Sylvia are getting their own monument in Greenwich Village.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the reason for this is the reason they are being a monument is being made in their honor is, I don't know who made the decision, but basically they're like, you know what? The LGBT history is very whitewashed. And, you know, it's like in everybody's mind, it was a bunch of like, you know,
preppy
white boys that were in Stonewall. And it's a bunch of drag queens that grabbed their heels and were stabbing the cops. And
well, because if you're the most marginalized, say you're racially a minority and you're trans, what do you have to lose? You've already been kept out of society. I mean, this is in the 60s,
which
was relatively recent.
Yeah, I think the more oppressed you are,
so
the more you...
of course they're on the
yeah.
forefront.
And so, but then, you know, you get into, like, gay history, and it's like, it is. It's very whitewashed and whatever. And so, I don't know who it was, but whoever made the decision that they were like, you know, there needs to be a monument near Stonewall that honors these two people, because they were the representation of people that... you know, we're responsible for Stonewall. So
and you said it, representation. If you look at the civil rights movement, there were thousands upon thousands of people for literally hundreds of years that worked up until today. But we put Rosa Parks as the face
of
it.
Yeah.
Even though that was planned and she was chosen to go intentionally, refused to get up and all that. If we look at World War II, Anne Frank, we can empathize with her.
Yeah.
And I think Marsha P. Johnson is kind of turned into that figure of, okay, we can take this person's life, examine it, and understand the whole movement and purpose.
And I hope so. I hope this monument is really representative, because if you look at her, she was very masculine looking. She didn't have a lot of money. She was in not the greatest clothes. She had like leftover flowers in her hair. And so, you know, she was this average person that, you know, and she's responsible for where we are today. And so hopefully they make it very accurate and true to her and not kind of like, you know, prettify it, I guess.
I think it's also important in that we not look away or hide the fact that she was a prostitute because she had to be.
For her whole, I mean, literally she moved there in her teens and in her early 20s. And she died in, like, I think at 45 or 46. And so, for like, from early 20s to when she died, so, like, you know, 20-some years of her life, the majority, she was a prostitute. Like, and I mean, she was, poor thing, I mean, she was a prostitute, but she was also, like, in and out of mental hospital. You know, she had mental issues. And so,
Well, the sad and hypocritical part is that these were people leaving their wives to drive into the city.
Mm-hmm.
To find a man dressed as a woman, because that's how they got their kicks. And then there's a reason why so many are found murdered and beaten up. People have sex with them a lot of times and then kill them because of how disgusted they are by them and how
themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So just the hypocrisy of, you know, that happening, and it happens to this day, unfortunately. It's just now becoming a huge issue within the LGBTQIAPRST hashtag, pound, all that kind
of
stuff.
All right, let's not mock all of our brothers and sisters in the community.
Queer umbrella, it's the term. Okay, anyway.
LGBTQ plus. All right. So that was a good discussion on Marsha P.
Awesome lady.
Yep. Come on, P.
Awesome. Marsha P. stood for, what was that again?
Pay it no mind.
All right, I like that. I like that.
That's how people should live their lives.
Pay it no mind.
Wow, what a great episode. I really enjoy hearing the guys talk about Marsha P. Johnson, because she really is, I mean, when people think of the modern fight for LGBTQ plus rights, it all starts with Marsha P. Johnson throwing that shot glass. So I really enjoyed this episode. I think it's one of the guys' bests, because it really they got into their groove by now. They were really grooving. Anyways, that's another week of gay stuff for you. Tune in next week for one of our other favorite episodes. So with that, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.